Greetings to you on this day as we dive into chapter 28 now of My Soul Waits by Marva Don, nearing the end of our journey through the Psalms with just four sessions to go. But today, a powerful chapter. The title is Putting Our Grief into Historical Perspective. In essence, getting up in the crow's nest and being able to look back where we've journeyed from, what we have learned, how God has been ever present in those places, so that it can inform how we're living in the here and now. And this comes from Psalm 77. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Again, that is Psalm 77, verses 5 through 15. Have you ever said, I just can't take it anymore? I just can't take it anymore. It's too much. There's too much going on. You're tired. You're exhausted. The world feels heavy. That's what this psalmist is writing for and in the midst of. He's tired. He feels beat down. He might even feel that things are never going to get better and that, yes, again, God has abandoned him. But as we go through this psalm, I think what we find, instead of just that sense of loss or loneliness, what we find is a sense of engagement, a sense of a deepening heart and spirit. And who among us does not need to be taken to the depths to discover new meaning and new life? You see, it helps us immensely if we can learn to put our grief and loneliness into a historical perspective. In remembering ways that God has helped us in the past, we can find solace for the present and hope for the future. There's something about shared wisdom. There's something about storytelling that allows us to see God at work. Sometimes we miss it in the moment, but when we actually can pause and breathe, and remember, it's then that we see God's hand most active in our life. And that is what the poet does here in Psalm 77. As the psalmist mourns some unknown distress, he puts some pause in his life to put his trouble into a larger historical framework so that he can trust God to rescue him from the trial that he's presently undergoing. And again, the trials are going to keep coming, right? All throughout life, there will be another trial. Just when you get your feet on solid ground, there may be something else. And I think, as I've said before, if it's not happening to you, it's happening to those you love or your neighbor, the person next to you. Trials are a part of our life. And the poet deals with his gloom and anxious spirit with a firm discipline of mind. Again, there's this sharpening of the mind that allows him to go deeper. You see, the verb to think is used in the first verse of the section here in an intensified form that suggests deeper consideration or mindfulness. Mindfulness. Not just random thought, not just bumper sticker theology or statements that we use to pick ourselves up or to pick a friend up, but no, deeper consideration or mindfulness. The psalmist focused his thoughts on the past, the previous ages in which God's love had been clearly seen. No doubt about it. God's dramatic deeds on behalf of his people were the subject of many songs of faith, to which the poet might be referring to when he asserts that he remembered his songs in the night. His self-discipline is further reflected in the fourth line, where it says, "My heart meditated and my spirit asked." You see, to meditate with one's heart suggests contemplation, deeper study, times of prayer, living in shared story. The word translated here for the word asked or inquired is an intensification of the Hebrew word meaning to search, to search. And so the Spirit is not just this thing that is moving about among us. It's a mindfulness. It's a mental act. So when the poet struggles against his doubts and fears and wonderings, he's responding to that disquiet in his spirit with disciplined searching for the truth. Disciplined searching. It's what we talk about in the church as we talk about engaging in God's word, spending time in Bible study, intentional formation, reading those scriptures over and over and over again to mine them for what God would want to speak to us. And isn't it amazing how God speaks to us at all times and in all places, especially when we're open to hearing or discovering? You see, by the grace of God, we can prevent ourselves from becoming so overwhelmed by our emotions that our faith is incapacitated. With the support and encouragement of others in Christian community, we can deal with ourselves and our grief by putting things into God's perspective. And through God's perspective, finding comfort and hope. Now, the poet here asks six profound rhetorical questions. And each one is so worded that we want to shout negations of utter disbelief, standing up and yelling, "No, of course not." And here were those questions. Will the Lord reject us to everlastingness? Will he not ever again be pleased with us anymore? Has his loving kindness and steadfast faithfulness ceased forever? Has the word come to an end for age upon age? Has he forgotten to show favor? And has he shut up his anger and his compassions and stayed distant from us? Well, it's important to note here that as you read the Psalms and as you look in your Bibles, many of those with the translation, you'll see that word Selah to the right. And again, throughout this psalm, that word Selah is in the appropriate place where you have to pause and think, meditate, journal, reflect, sit in silence, searching the heart, mind, and soul for what God would want us to say. I have a niece by the name of Selah, and her family chose that name because of God's pause, God's teaching, God's journey with us in the midst of our question. So taking time with those, we of course again would want to shout out, "No." They might even invoke an angry response from us saying, "Our God is not like that. God cannot forget to show God's favor. That's not who God is. God is not forgotten. This can't last forever. God hasn't closed up God's compassions toward us." Well, the poet discloses how ridiculously obvious the answers to those rhetorical questions are when he continues with an appeal to the many years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. And this name is often used for God in the Psalms, and the entire phrase refers to all the time that all of Israel, including the poet, had spent in the place of intimacy and fellowship with this highest and only God. We worry about loneliness or grief in terms of months or years. But in contrast, we need to learn the habit of remembering the Lord's love in terms of the scores of years and the centuries and the eons from the very beginning when God creates. And so think for a while of your own history. How has God led you, your family, through crisis and through difficult circumstances in order to preserve them? How have you personally seen God's faithful love over the long haul? And does that evoke within you gratitude? What gratitude is stirred when we look back over the years that the Most High has stretched out His right hand on our behalf? Well, in the next four lines, the poet uses four different Hebrew words: deeds, miracles, works, mighty deeds, to name the actions of the Lord. The Hebrew writers often group things in four to stress universality, as if to name the four corners of the earth and thereby to include everything else in between. One sees this arranging of fours, especially in the book of Revelation, where the writer John declares that God saves a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language. That comes from Revelation 7:9. The set of four terms here in Psalm 77 underscores the awareness that God does everything that is necessary for the sake of His people. And this image then proclaims that God is prodigal with God's blessings and benefits. That in essence, the shock is that the Lord loves us with scandalous generosity, an overabundance of generosity. There's another book we can journey through at some point in time as the church. It's called Prodigal Hugging God. And it tells the story again of the prodigal son and the ways that the son, of course, took advantage of and used up the resource, how the older son missed the mark in his understanding of his brother and father, but then speaks faithfully to the story of what it was like to be that father. And that God is a prodigal hugging God. And God is scandalous in God's generosity with us. At times we might question that. Life is not always fair and not always good. But somewhere in the midst of that, God's faithfulness is. God's faithfulness is. So there's a lot of thinking in this psalm. The New Testament emphasizes the renewal of our minds. For example, in Romans 12. Well, the poet here urges us to be more objective about our troubles so that we can put them into a godly and more comforting perspective. The psalmist summarizes all his discoveries about the actions of God in the sentence, "Your ways, God, are holy." Your ways, God, are holy. And so when the poet asks, "What God is as great as our God?" this last rhetorical question with the earlier questions brings the sum of these questions to completion. And all of these seven questions are answered by all the evidence of the ancient, the past, the present, and future history. After all, God is the one who is doing the wonders, the poet continues. God makes God's strength known among all the peoples by taking care of God's own children, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. All throughout, God has been there. In the unfolding of the scripture story, it's always about God's presence amongst God's people. Didn't always look pretty. It was often very messy. The stories that were written and the characters within those stories often missed the mark. But God did not quit. God did not throw in the towel. God's faithfulness remained sure. And so for you, what is your faith story? How would you begin to tell it? Marva challenges us to write a poem or to learn a song or to jot down a journal entry, to inscribe about the significant events of your spiritual life or your physical circumstances or your emotional healing. And be intentional about remembering the Lord's deeds of long ago and then to be encouraged here in the present. Because after all, when we ask, how can I go on? The answer is the same as the last line. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give you strength. And the reason a person of faith continues to declare that in the face of insurmountable odds is because of one thing. We have seen it happen over and over and over again throughout history. And so, taking the time to deepen our hearts, minds, and souls, to dig deep in formation, to put our grief into a historical perspective. And as you take time to maybe journal or write some of that, I have just two questions for you on this day. To what events in your life might you build a memorial to remember God's deeds? Or instead of a memorial, what kind of, again, journal entry or writing or song or poem would you put in place to describe it? In essence, what's your faith statement that you would share with someone else who has no idea about God or Jesus or the Spirit or anything else? How would you summarize in just one paragraph God's faithfulness, God's work, God's action in your life? Take some time to think about that. And then what is the importance of your mind in coping with grief and sorrow and loneliness? What is the importance of mind, your mind, in coping with grief or sorrow? Two important questions on this day. As you meditate on that, be safe and be well. And I look forward to chapter 29 here in just a few short days. God's blessings, peace, and hope.